The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
A very good morning to you. Very welcome along to the second hour of the 9 till noon show, 10 minutes past 10. Coming up very shortly after the next break, we'll have Cúinitha Garda information for this Tuesday, the very latest appeals and information from Magarda Shia Conna first here on the 9 till noon show. Catching up though on some of your comments here, how dare Michael McBride tell protesters to protest somewhere out of sight? Because that's exactly what he's saying. Who the hell does he think he is? Many Main Street customers also need the opportunity to own the street for an hour. If the protest weren't against shoplifters, would the same rules apply? Hi Greg, in fairness, people should never have to protest, but our councillors are ignoring the real concerns ordinary people have about mass immigration and its crisis in Donegal. Another, that councillor on about banning protests should get in touch with Trump. He would be more in line with his thinking. Did the minister meet with Frank McBurtie yesterday? I don't know, to be honest with you. There were a number of meetings for councillors and the minister. I'm really not sure what the story was there. In fact, there's 30 councillors. I couldn't tell you if they were there or not, just to be clear. I'm listening to this, that the minister came down to Donegal to see firsthand the issues in Donegal himself. I think it's a joke that we should be grateful that a Minister for Housing coming to see the issues. Did reading the brief not fully inform him of the issue? Did he think the seriousness of the issue was made up? I just find it shocking that we should be grateful that a man who was very well paid to do a job came and now believes, let's see if his actions match his words. But the words, there was not, the words were light, really, effectively, in terms of, I recognise this, I'm going to go and fix that. Would Councillor McBride say the same to defective block campaigners or the cancer campaigners? I put that question to him before 10. The demonstration in Letterkenny was not people talking in my name, nor most of the people of Letterkenny. Councillor McBride is right. The town park is the place for these types of gatherings. Thank you for asking the question, replanning. Another review. We're no further on, no problem. And that's off the back of some calls I've received from people who are frustrated that they can't get planning on to the N56 and it's all over the shop, really. And it can be a bit hit and miss too as well. And I'm not sure there's anything in there to relieve that frustration, but we shall see. Another caller says, reality is that previous governments made a decision not to fix the housing crisis here, have had all these words before. What makes him think there's been a change of attitude in Dublin? That's just some of those comments. Good interview, Greg. Unfortunately, same stalling tactics as before from government, as Johnny Logan says, what's another year? Which is quite timely, of course. That was his Eurovision song, wasn't it? And the Eurovision starts tonight, the semi-finals, I believe. Right, look up at the skies today, no long trails and full length of the sky. You just might ask why, and not feed us the high low pressure bull. It's the cows are to blame, of course. I've saw long trails behind planes on the way to work this morning. I'm not trying to convince you to believe anything else, by the way. If you want to believe what you want to believe, believe it. I have absolutely no interest in changing your view or your point of view, and I'm sure you're the same of mine. I don't even really know what the belief is, and I get frustrated only because I would like to understand what people are saying when they talk about trails coming out of aeroplanes. I'd like to know what people are saying in relation to that. Auburn would want to keep his stones in his own glass house. The sooner the Hungarians get him out, the better, says a listener. Very simple solution to social media, Greg. Solves misinformation, hate speech and issues with kids. Make social media legally liable for what's posted on their platform. Make them suable and you'll soon see things get cleaned up fast as their bank accounts are threatened at a class action level. Well, there's various... I mean, Europe is pretty tight on the social media companies and they do fine them. It doesn't seem to make much difference. There's much looser controls in the United States, for an example. It's a very complicated area to police. The Guardian on your show last week emphasised the fact e-scooters are not allowed on footpaths. Someone passed me this morning. Well, the guards can say it, but it can't make people do it. I've seen, since that interview, I've seen 6, 7 scooters and footpaths. Two of those were going the wrong way up the road. It's all over the place around Letterkenny. It wouldn't take you long to go out and nab people if you wanted to. Absolutely ridiculous that Graham Linehan is going through just for defending women. So much for freedom of speech. Speech, cancel culture alive and well. Well, I wonder if the Supreme Court hearing will work in his favour. I have a suspicion, and I've been right a couple of times before, I have a suspicion it'll actually come down to criminal damage of the phone rather than him misgendering someone as the other person might see it. So I think really what that's going to come down to is, did he damage that person's phone that was worth 400 quid or something along those lines? You know, I think that's really going to be the nuts and bolts of it. Re-Israel citizen protest. Yes, there is protest and people against what's happening within Israel, but the majority have been conditioned through school and then the mandatory military service to support what's happening, so it's not as big an opposition as one would hope. But, like, can you be conditioned to think that that's acceptable or okay? That's what gets me, you know. So, like, it can only then be... Like, so say, for instance, you can be conditioned to think it's okay to purposely starve children to death or to blow them up. But you would think that that's absolutely abhorrent in your own country. You wouldn't do it. You'd protect kids to the death. Then you must be conditioned to think that those children of a different race or colour or creed are not real children. Do you know what I mean? That's the only way you could separate the two issues out in your mind, I would imagine. Because children are children, as far as I see. It doesn't matter where they're from or what their background is. Starving them and blowing them up is not acceptable. And it wouldn't be acceptable within Israel. So how can you train and condition someone that the majority think it's okay to do that outside of Israel? I mean, surely they know what's going on. And I'm not... That might sound very anti all of Israel, and that's not what I'm saying. I'm just wondering where the... sort of opposition from within Israel, from, you know, normal free-thinking people like we are all, why is there not more of a protest to not the reaction to Hamas necessarily, or not, but simply to purposely starving these kids and the women as well. But anyway, I can't understand it and never will, I suspect.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, monitoring homes and businesses in the Northwest for intruder, fire, panic and medical signals. Call Sheridan Security on 91-26025.
And from the Falkara Garda Station, we say good morning now to Garda Niall Maguire. How are you, Niall? How are you keeping?
Great, Greg. Good morning to you and all your listeners.
A little bit that way. Okay, good stuff. Right, this is Community Garda information for this Tuesday, the 13th of May. And we have our first appeal. And this is an assault causing harm investigation.
Yes, it's classified as assault causing harm, but the injuries are non-serious in nature. Two men were fighting each other at Lower Main Street, Letterkenny, last Monday evening at about 20 past 8 in the evening. That was last Monday, the 12th of the 5th. The injured party sustained a kick on the head when he fell to the ground and was punched on the ground as well. Again, it's a very serious incident, but thankfully non-serious injuries at this stage that we know of. If anyone witnessed this, maybe they could contact my colleagues in Letterkenny who are investigating this incident, and they can be reached on 074-9167-100, or indeed, for all my appeals today, the Garda Confidential line, as usual, on 1-800-666-111.
And that was 20 past 8 yesterday?
20 past 8 yesterday evening, okay, yeah. And
broad daylight.
Lower Main Street, yeah. Okay.
Reports of a dangerous driving incident.
Yes, we had reports in Burnfoot of a A-class Mercedes driving dangerously and committing several dangerous overtakes last Friday, the 9th of the 5th, at about 20:45, so a quarter to 9 in the evening, still light again. A person reported this red A-class Mercedes overtaking, and as a result, other cars that were oncoming were forced to pull into the grass verge. So we're lucky we didn't have a collision there. So maybe if someone had a dash cam footage and they were on that Fawn Road in Burnfoot at around 8:45 PM, maybe they could make it available to my colleagues in Buncrana, and they can be reached on 074-9320-540.
Distinctive enough car too, red A-class last Friday on the farm. Burnfoot there. Fraud deception being investigated as well.
Yeah, this is a possible fraud deception. We haven't got all the details in this one yet, Greg, but it's, I suppose it's a concerning one in that a person was in Moville and they were using the ATM machine and withdrawing some cash. This occurred last Thursday, the 8th of the 5th, around 9 p.m. A lady was using the ATM and she noticed her suspicions were raised. There was two men close by the ATM and they were sitting on a bench or whatever, and they approached her and said, oh, the ATM's not working. But she ignored them and used the ATM and it was working. But whatever amount of cash she withdrew, she was charged double that. So she thinks it was connected to the two men because they were quite insistent on standing behind her and using the ATM immediately after. They were saying, oh, it's my turn now or whatever, you know. So it is suspicious. I don't know the workings of this, but it is a possible fraud and deception. Maybe something like a cash capture device may have been installed on the machine or whatever. So again, if anybody knows anything suspicious about an ATM machine, better be safe than sorry. Maybe move on to another one and report it to your local Garda station.
The thing is they indicated that it wasn't working.
Yeah.
And yet she continued to use it.
Yeah, yeah. So, again, if anybody...
We could be at the start of something, or it could turn out to be...
We haven't identified... Well, I suppose an appeal not just to make people aware of possible frauds and stuff, but if anybody noticed or knows these two chaps, maybe they could contact my colleagues in Buncrana. Sure, they're a person of interest that would like to speak to you about it, you know.
Yeah. And keep yourself peeled around ATMs.
Sure.
Broken windows. This is in the Dunloe area, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been a bad week for broken windows this week, Greg. We've had 8 since last week in the Donegal division, so it's a lot of inconvenience for people, and you know, a lot of badness going on there in relation to broken windows, and it's the sort of casual kind of damage that, you know, it's so easy to commit, but you know, people are being caught for these week in, week out, but we've had several cars and homes that have had broken windows, and it's a very serious crime for the injured party in this, and a very expensive thing, because a lot of the times insurance policies don't cover these windows. But the first one I want to appeal about happened in Dunloe on Saturday night going into Sunday morning, the 10th of the 5th, and this happened at a takeaway. There was a female in, she ordered food and she collected her food, and then on her way out the door she kicked over some chairs and broke a window, a lower pane on the door. So my colleagues in Dunloe would like to identify this female, and if she wants to come forward and let the Gardaí in Dunloe know who it was, well then they can be reached on 074 95 21 000.
Another broken window instance. Yeah. These are three broken windows.
Three separate instances. I'll run over them quickly, Greg. These happened in the Letterkenny Northern District, we call it now. So Saturday evening at 3 p.m, a vehicle had its window smashed. The vehicle was parked at the rear of a house in Curragh Lane, Lifford, and the rear window was smashed by a glass bottle. Then on Friday morning, the 9th of the 5th, at 10 a.m, which is strange, at Emmett Park in Castlefin, two persons in balaclavas carrying crowbars broke the downstairs windows of a home and then fled on foot out of the estate. And then last Tuesday, the 6th of the 5th, at 5 p.m, the front window of a home was smashed at Hollybush Park, Port Hall, Lifford. So again, Letterkenny can assist in putting you in contact with the investigating guards there. And again, it's 074 91 67 100, or indeed again the confidential line 1-800-666-111.
Now, Go Purple Day, it's a really important initiative, this, for raising awareness, get conversations started, and I suppose letting people know what services are there for them when they find themselves in certain situations.
Yeah, this is a Garda initiative, and it takes place on Friday, the 16th of May, this Friday. So it's an initiative that aims to, it's basically increasing awareness of domestic abuse and give people information about the supports that are available to those experiencing it. So my colleagues from the Community Policing Unit in Letterkenny and Lifford will be out and about on the beat that day, and they'll be giving out leaflets about local services that are available, and they'll be leaving them in places such as hairdressers, barbers, libraries, cafes, shops. All my colleagues will be wearing a purple ribbon that day, as I say, it is a Garda initiative, so we'll all be wearing one on that Friday. So the guards, I suppose, we're here to listen and support victims, and if you know someone or you suspect someone is maybe a victim of domestic abuse, please contact any local Garda station or 999 112. in an emergency. In addition to that, my colleagues in Donegal Town Garda Station are having an open coffee morning. Everyone's welcome at 11 a.m. And my colleagues in Buncrana, Charlene, you know, is in partnership with Lifeline Services, are attending Carndonagh Community School for a talk on healthy relationships in conjunction with the school curriculum, Greg.
So. Yeah, okay, so it's right across the board. Finally, e-scooter information.
It's every day. Absolutely, I suppose it's e-scooters are new, the legislation's even newer. But I suppose we want to come at it from a prevention and an information point of view rather than an enforcement point of view at this stage. Now, there is enforcement happening in Donegal as well. So we're holding an e-scooter information stand at Letterkenny Shopping Centre on Thursday the 15th of May between 5 p.m. and 6:30 p.m. And the guards will be available to answer any questions in relation to e-scooters, and they have some information and leaflets in relation to the law and the requirements of the use of them. And everyone that attends, if they would like a high-vis vest, we have a supply of them. So everyone's welcome to come and have a little chat.
Brilliant stuff. Thank you so very much, as always. Gardener McGuire from the Fulcara Garda Station. Great to see you. Hopefully you can enjoy the good weather over the next wee while. And that was Community Garda information for this Tuesday, the 13th of May. It'll be available for you to podcast from 12:30 on our website, and you can watch it back too on our Facebook pages a little later on this afternoon. And it's back live for you after the 10 o'clock news next Tuesday. You're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. We are joined on the programme now by Ruth Garvey Williams, Chair of Insight Inishowen, and family friend. Good morning to you. Thank you so much for joining us. And this is in relation to a fundraiser that has been established to support the families in Buncrana of Emmanuel Familola and Marty Sabanda, who we know tragically died after getting into difficulty in Lough Swilly on Saturday afternoon. I mean, I was going to ask why, but it's quite obvious, isn't it? It's to try and give these families support at the most difficult of times, Ruth.
Absolutely. Good morning, Greg. Yeah, we're so grateful for the overwhelming response to the fundraiser, which we only launched last night, and the incredible response from our community. These are two working single mothers who obviously can't work during this terrible time, and we want to stand with them so they have no worries or concerns about costs. They were asking in the first few days of the week, you know, how are we going to manage? What are we going to do? And I sort of in faith said to them, I'm sure the community will help, and they will be utterly, I'll be seeing them this morning, they will be utterly overwhelmed and so grateful to know the community standing with them.
And the community rallied with them, of course, from the response of the emergency services in trying to find their boys safe, but very sadly ultimately bringing their boys home, to the reaction in the local community, the vigil, and now this in supporting this fundraiser. I hope they're getting comfort from the support they are receiving at what is an impossible time, or maybe in time they'll be able to reflect on the support. We all sort of absorb things differently, I suppose, in times of crisis.
It has been an immense comfort to them. I mean, there were several comments about the turnout to the prayer vigil on Sunday, just that sense, oh, everybody's with us. This is so beautiful. And this is their community. They've been here for over a year, working, volunteering, supporting the children at schools. So to know that people are grieving with them. Obviously, many folks in Inishowen have also had tragic losses, and so they know, you know, they're the ones who know what the families are going through at this terrible time.
And of course, the situation, as terrible as it is, compounded by the fact that whilst they had become members of the local community originally from countries quite some distance away, and perhaps some uncertainty as to where the wider family's future lies. Do we understand, or do we know at this point, what the funeral arrangements might be in this complicated situation, Ruth?
Obviously, this is still ongoing. We're working together with the families. The boys will be buried here in Donegal, and we're arranging.
No, that's okay. You sort that out. And
Deeply sorry for that. My phone has not stopped ringing for 3 days.
I can understand.
Apologies. We're working very closely with Father Bradley, with the centre managers, and with the families themselves to respect their wishes and to understand the cultural norms of how they would normally conduct funerals and burials, etc. So that's a bit of a process. We are very much hoping to be able to bring a couple of very key members of their families over for the funerals. That would be very important to have somebody to stand with them. And so that's also part of the process at the moment, and will be part of the fundraising that we've done to make sure that that can happen. So we're not expecting an imminent funeral. It will be several days before this can all be worked out.
And as well, to the wider Bunkrana community, a lot of people affected by this, you know, personally. I'm also school friends, you know, people that they would have played with. You know, these tragedies affect an awful lot of people, don't they?
That's right, Greg, absolutely. And there was a wonderful gathering of a lot of the services, Insight and Ashon included yesterday, the HSE and lots of services really pulling together to ensure that we have a coordinated response, that anyone who's been affected by this tragedy can get some extra help to process their grief and process those emotions that arise.
Now, as you mentioned, the fundraiser was only recently launched, already exceeding the amount, I think, that you privately or publicly had hoped for. That being said, there is no upper level to this. These families are going to need an awful lot of support. So you're encouraging people to consider donating nonetheless.
Yeah, I mean, we actually weren't sure what to put. I didn't know how many people would donate, so I just chose a round figure of 10,000. But the families will need more than that. So the response has been overwhelming. I can't thank people enough. I'm just so grateful for. I'm going to get slightly emotional here, but I'm so grateful for everybody who's given and everybody who's standing. Over 700 people already donated, and the message this sends to their families, and the fact that they don't have to worry about money. You know, to speak to one of them yesterday who was actually worried about a bill that was needed to be paid, and said, listen, don't worry, I'm sure we'll be able to sort it out. And now we can.
And it is through the generosity of regular people that are doing this, that are taking those pressures off at what is an impossible time. And, you know, don't want to get into the ins and outs of it, but there's a lot of hate out there. And unfortunately, I've seen some of it in response to this. And I'm glad to see that love and care and communities is winning out.
Absolutely. Love wins every time, Greg. And look at our community. I love this community. We've always been a compassionate and caring place. Bunkrana has just a wonderful reputation of gathering round in times of tragedy and heartbreak. And look at us again. Wonderful. I love the people of Bunkrana. They are here in force, demonstrating and putting their money where their mouth is and showing that they reject hatred and they embrace people who are here as part of our community.
We'll link the GoFundMe and also to, it's on the Exchange's social media. So you just would search the Exchange in Facebook, would you?
Absolutely. The Exchange and Insight.
Insight
did it on behalf of the Exchange just to help.
But it'll be there anyway. People will find it between the jigs and the reels. Okay, thanks so much. Ruth Garvey-Williams, Chair of Insight in Ashon, and a family friend of the families that lost so much. That lost so much at the weekend. Right, let's see. Hi, Greg. I'm of the age when as a child we lay on the grass looking at the sky, clouds, aeroplanes, etc., and seeing the little contrails coming out the back. Remember it well. That is not what we're seeing now, and quite a lot of people are very aware of it. We also know the military has been tampering with the weather for years and all over the world. Look at terrible disasters in the UK several years ago where villages were destroyed. There were lots of patent plan documents available for anyone who wants to read up. Typical of Councillor McBride complaining about a well-supported protest involving mostly locals, which lasted a couple of hours. Himself and the same won't be saying much next month when the locals will be gridlocked with the rally following the 4 days. Hi, Greg. The tactic of our councillors to vilify and label Donegal people is no longer working. We've had enough of the destruction of our country. Hi, Greg. In general, Letterkenny people are not instinctive protesters. This alone should have councillors sit up and take notice. I haven't seen I don't believe that it matters where people come from to protest, to be honest with you. You know, we are a country. We're not all siloed. So, like, Letterkenny's there, Ballybuffet there, Sligo there. But I haven't seen... I wonder what the mix was in terms of sort of local protesters and those who have a legitimate right to protest coming in to protest. I did see some familiar faces from down the country, some citizens, journalists and what have you. But anyway, listen, it's done and dusted. I don't really want to open that can of worms. The scale of change in Letterkenny is unsettling. Our councillors can scold and condemn all they want, but the thousands marching will no longer be silenced on the issue. They don't want you silenced. They just want you doing it in the town park or somewhere else. Impartial to all protests, but don't others and not the proposer. Don't others and not the proposer are behind this, the most undemocratic of a proposal. The speakers whom are speaking at these protests are obviously a threat to someone. Okay, I get you. I understand where you're coming from there. All right. Let us see. I want to mention two things because there's a chance for you to win a nice wee prize on our social medias. It's simple too. So if you're looking for a fun day out with the family, don't miss the Castle Adventure Open Farms Machinery and Demo Show. It's happening on Sunday, May 25th from 11 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. There is something for everyone. Live music from the Danny Byrne Band and Hard to Beat, plus a special meet and greet with the Grassmen. It's just €10 entry and you can book your tickets now at openfarm.ie. We've teamed up with Castle Adventure Farm to give you the chance to win an overnight stay at the Great Northern Hotel and free entry for a family of four. To enter, just head over to our socials, follow, like and share for your chance to win. The winner will be announced on Highland socials on Monday the 19th of May. Please be aware though of fake accounts. They do try and jump on these competitions. We will never ask you to click on any links to provide details. Caroline, do you know where that the Castle Adventure Open, would you know where it's taking place? Okay, I'll just double check on that. I don't see it on the sheet of paper, but we'll get that information to you because it sounds like fun. More fun to be had on Thursday the 28th of August because we are going to Riverdance 30, the new generation. It's coming to the Gaiety Theatre in Dublin for a limited anniversary tour. Now, a lot of the reasons why some of us don't do stuff is because it's a bit of a handling, getting a lift, getting a hotel, bish, bash, bosh. Well, we've got all that sorted for you because we've got a package, overnight accommodation, bed and breakfast at the four-star Grand Canal Hotel in the heart of Dublin, a luxury coach travel up and down. Tickets to the show, of course. Wouldn't it be some crack if we dropped you at the door without tickets? And we'll also allow you some free time in Dublin. We don't have a ton of tickets available for this, so if you'd want to go down and see Riverdance at the 28th of August, book your place now. 07491 25000. €100 deposit gets your seat secured, and then you can sort of pay into us then in the lead up to the event itself. Or you can go onto the website highlandradio.com. It's €249 per person sharing. That's down in Ballyshannon, is it? Okay, brilliant. I think I used to do OBs at that for Northwest Radio. Okay, that's down in beautiful Ballyshannon on Sunday, May 25th from 11 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. That's not Riverdance. That is the Castle Adventure Open Farm Machinery and Demo Show. Now, I have in studio with me our very own Sinead Black, and you're bound to know Sinead from presenting in her here in Highland Radio, and also too from her own work as a performer, new album out as well, Sinead. So, lots going on.
Very busy week.
That's good indeed. And with all that in mind, we appreciate you coming in to talk about something which I know you're really quite passionate about, and you've been, you know, speaking about Darkness into Light. It's fundraising for Pieta House. And what is your concerns in that regard?
I suppose I just took to social media, Greg, over the weekend, awakening to all the lovely concept of people in our county and indeed our country gathering to spread hope and light and love around people who may have passed on from suicide or just around mental health in general. I feel like as a county we're very good at supporting
one another,
absolutely. Yeah. And you know, for me personally, when I wake up to all those wonderful gestures and the lights of hope on the beach, I find it quite frustrating because unfortunately I know from my own experience that the service that the people feel that they are supporting in the county, just I didn't receive it. Mm. And I just highlighted that at the weekend on social media.
Because you have spoken before about, like we all have, I've had it myself, your struggles with mental health.
Yeah.
And, you know, you'd be acutely aware too, Sinead, that sometimes it's difficult to reach out and sometimes you do. And some people unfortunately only do that once.
Absolutely. And this is that's the most thing I'm most passionate about. I was just saying to Caroline, it's minutes, mm. you know. And I suppose just in regards to Beata House and services like that, they have a great potential to save lives and in those crucial minutes. And I just feel that I just want to bring awareness to the people of the county that they feel that they're doing all this good. And just sadly, I didn't get an answer on the phone.
Talk to me as much as you're comfortable in doing so into where you were at and what happened when you picked up the phone.
Yeah, no problem at all talking about it because thank God I'm out the other end. And I suppose that's why it's great to talk about it mm-hmm. because for anyone listening today that they can be where I am now, thank God, in a great place.
Yes.
But sadly, I was not in a great place whatsoever. I remember being that low, Greg, and looking at my family and people around me and thinking that no one knows what to do here. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a burden. I'd be better away because this is like, you know, what do we do next? And this is exactly what the services are for. Like that's the next step.
Were you outwardly like that or were you like, you know, often it's like the tears of a clown, right? You know, you look great and happy and yeah. everything going for you outwardly, but it's the internal struggle. Were you hiding?
I probably hid it. It ran along. I had a great successful year mm. and a very fun year and externally, but internally I'd say it was building up and building up. And I suppose I reached a stage where it became external as well, that you could yeah. see it, you know. I had to take a little time to look after myself. And at the time, I really didn't want to do that because things were really moving for me within my career. But looking back now, I'm very glad I did. Mm-hmm. It was a great reset. And but yeah, my point being that in those minutes when I phoned the likes of Beata House and there wasn't an answer, it was very hopeless feeling. Mm. Felt very alone. And my point in being here today is I was lucky that I had my sister, and I genuinely mean that. Mm-hmm. I have no doubt that I wouldn't be here without her, and thankfully having finding a great counsellor who spoke to me in the middle of the night. Yeah. And
see, the thing is, you see, without you can tell this story,
yeah,
right? But what we can't determine or put a figure on is the amount of people that didn't have your sister.
That's what I said to my friend this morning. I was like, I'm going to speak for the people who can't yep. and who...
They don't have a voice and perhaps never will because their story goes untold.
Yeah.
You know, and that could be for a myriad of reasons. In your instance, it's because you did do the right thing at that time in a desperate situation, an emergency, really. Would you call it an emergency?
Absolutely. I was lying on my floor, not wanting to be here anymore. Like, I can't highlight how awful it was. And I'm sure that there is people who will reach that stage. And it just is, it's very frustrating for me that we have so much power and so much potential to be doing better mm. and the services can be doing better. And
Beata House is an interesting one because given the position I'm in, people contact me about certain stuff, Sinead, and unfortunately I've heard this quite a few times mm-hmm. About this one particular service. And you know, there's so much joy, as you mentioned, and so much outpouring of love and hope over darkness into light. But at the same time too, I feel I have a loyalty to the people who've had issues accessing the service or the follow-up or being told, you know, we don't have this or we don't have that. And I suppose when something's so so roundly positively spoken of, mm-hmm. it's hard to put your head above the parapet, but at the same time, we kind of have an obligation to sort of have the quiet conversations out loud sometimes too. So did you ever have any interactions? Was it one call that went unanswered, or is there more to it?
It's funny you say that, because so many people told me to not speak today. But I'm not sitting here to give out. I'm trying to make a change, trying to make a positive change. You know, if I could take anything to bring awareness that the services, I think that Donegal people, I have no doubt, like even my friends are like, oh my God, Sinead, only you put that up. Like, what do you mean the services aren't there? They're just simply not there, or they're not there in the correct way. And I feel like they could be adjusted. Even from my own personal service, I feel like I could say, you know, they're not open on Saturdays and Sundays. The highest suicide rates are on a Sunday morning and a Monday. And
but do people know that? It's like when I was at the circus recently, and what are you smiling at?
Okay.
No, I was at the circus.
They didn't keep you, know?
No, they didn't. They had a clown there already. Although I've heard that joke before on Facebook. No, but you know, there's a few bits in it where it's there's someone on a trapeze, right, and they're really high up. And they're swinging backwards and forwards. And they have, as you would know, they have a safety harness on at the back. Mm-hmm. And they do that every single time because they may never, ever fall off, right? But the time that they might, the safety harness is there. And they're assured that it's always there.
Yeah.
My concern is that we go through our life with this safety harness attached to us, thinking that stuff is there, but it's not when that one time that we need it. You know what I mean? And that's my concern. We need faith and trust in services, and we need to know that they're there when they're needed most.
Yeah.
And I think that's the kind of, albeit a long-winded analogy, that's kind of what you're talking about here is, you know, you needed it at that time and you couldn't get it, and we don't want that to happen to other people.
I phoned 6 times.
Yeah.
And it was unanswered. And, you know, I'm glad to be here, and thank God I am, I want people to walk an easy path and not walk the hard path that I had to walk. And, you know, these services could adjust what they're doing to do that.
So when you talk about that a little bit more, are you saying that to ensure the phones are answered? Like, did you reach an answering machine?
I reached an answering machine, and to be honest, I got answered once, but how do I explain it? The way that I can explain it is, it's as if you rang A&E or 999 and said, I'm having a heart attack and I need help. So when I spoke to whoever I spoke to, are you sure you're suicidal? Are you having suicidal ideation? And I was just thinking to myself, I've picked up this phone, you know. We'll give you an assessment and you'll get an appointment, you know, I would say in around 2 weeks.
So what do you mean by an assessment? Is that like on the phone right now?
I'm not sure, because I got my own profession. I went a different path.
Yeah, but in that moment, like, was it a case that there was no emergency intervention? It was like, well, call in, we'll have an assessment and see if we can...
So I was transferred, which I was told was going to be a counsellor, and... I actually got transferred back to the switchboard. So it was a very hopeless phone call. But that's the only way for people listening who may not have ever had to avail of the service. If you phoned an ambulance and were having a heart attack, you know, you wouldn't be told, yeah, come back next Tuesday. It's the crucial moments for me, Greg, that I want to highlight. Like, it's crucial moments. It's a one crucial phone call that can save a life.
Yeah, and I think I've said it in this interview and I've said it before. You know, we push and push and push, and everyone, listen, even if it's me you call, I don't care, call someone and get, you have to make that call. But you, for some people, there's one call in them.
Yeah.
You know? And we just have, or there's one appearance at the ED. And we have to make sure that people...
If these services were, you know, did adjust, you know, to maybe Saturdays and Sundays, and did offer that you can approach... be at a house or approach whatever service we're talking about at that time, I think it would take a bit of pressure off our emergency departments. You know, I've been there too, probably, and I didn't know where to go. So I feel that if we had an organisation or a government body that you knew where to go in these moments, that it would...
So I'm on the Piata website now. We're not having a go, right? But we have to speak about the facts. And it says there's a 24-hour free crisis helpline. Now, this, you were in a crisis. And it says our 24-hour free phone crisis helpline is managed by qualified and professional therapists. So that's a statement. There's no reference to what hours. There's no reference to Monday to Friday. There's no reference to it's all of the time. 24-hour free phone crisis helpline. But you've rang that and you didn't get that help.
There was no answer. Yeah. No.
Okay.
By
the way, part of this conversation is not a case of don't ring Pieta. Sinead's not saying that for
no,
a second.
Sinead feel like they have that, such potential to do amazing
work. That's it, exactly.
Yeah.
But we can't not talk about these things either. There's also an issue too about the payment structure. In
I think
Pieta
for me,
as well.
It's just the structure and the management, you know, and the management of the practice or whatever you would want to call it, management of the service just concerns me. But like that, you know, that they brought in 4 million last year, and I'm sure there was a lot this year through the walk alone that could be doing such great. They could be doing great efforts and great providing a great service. So I suppose if anyone in that within Pieta hears this today, that I'm not giving out. I'm just addressing my own personal experience in the hope that they might adjust it
to
save
able to
someone
speak
else.
Freely, exactly.
Yeah.
Stay with me just after 11. We've another person joining us after 11, do we, Caroline? So stay there. I mean, listen, if you've had very positive experiences with Pieta, please feel free to text us. If you can relate to what Sinead is saying or someone close to you, please feel free to get in touch with us. It's 086 60 25000. That's the WhatsApp and text number. Give us a call on 074 91 25000. Of course, it says, well done, Sinead. People know and feel exactly the same. People they know, I believe. Sinead, thank you for speaking out and being truthful. That comes in for Josephine. Pieta helped me so much. Please don't hesitate to ring them. Don't, indeed. And they've got therapists as well, and you can start a therapy journey with them, but this is an issue with the crisis helpline, and if there are issues that need to be resolved, well, then we need to talk about it here too. Right, we'll be back with more, and Sinead's going to stay with us and another guest after we take a break, and then the news.